Oh, you're hot. You're hot. You're funny. You are funny. I am so...
John Gruden, I didn't even realize... Were we on the air for real?
Well, I had turned your microphone off because I realized I hit go live. I made us live a little bit earlier than I was supposed to. That's my fault. I apologize.
I mean, the game is over, so I get it.
Yeah, right?
But... I'm sick of John Gruden, okay? Everybody has a everybody has some light.
And you didn't even get to, you didn't even have to hear him for most of the night. He had some moments tonight that were particularly bad. He had some particularly bad moments tonight.
I'm kind of fed up with people wanting to pump up the Ravens as anything more than what they are. They are a mediocre team that has caught the benefit of playing some really bad quarterbacks. That's it and that's all. Please don't give me anything else.
Project Game Day postgame show brought to you by Parxel. I'm Glenn. She's the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard, and she is way hotter about this than I am.
Maybe like, because I'm sleepy.
I am way more like, and it's probably good that you're here because seriously, if it was just me, like the postgame show would probably be very boring. It would probably be nothing more than just, well, that happened. Like it would be nothing more than. All right, so they did that. Now let's wait until they play a real team, and we'll deal with it then.
But look, okay, if you look at the Ravens' schedule, they only have, like, two quote-unquote real teams left.
I'm aware, and one of them is the Lions. We don't even think that is that real of a team.
Right, the Lions, they come into town next week, and the Steelers. Those are the only – everybody else is a toss-up. They play the Browns, the Bengals, the Colts. And I'm missing one more team.
They've got the Bengals, the Browns, the Colts, the Lions, and the Steelers. It's five, yeah. That's their five.
Oh, that's right, yeah, that's right, correct. That's right. That's five. So you got two teams that are really fighting for a playoff shot.
We have one good team in there. Or
the
at least,
Steelers.
And by the way, that's even a measured good, right?
Yeah, because like, the same Steelers team won by 3 points against the Green Bay team,
right,
in which the Ravens gave up no points.
And Brett Hundley's terrible, and they made him look semi-decent.
Oh, you mean the way that Tom Savage kind of looked at certain times
for moments,
today?
Yeah, okay. For moments he looked
cool.
All right. So, yes, but they are still very good at home, typically. Typically, they're a very good home team, and their offense looks wildly different at home than it does away. So that one looks terrifying. The Lions next week, they're at least a competent team.
We think
they're better than a team led by Tom Savage or led by Brett Hundley.
Correct.
So we think it's going to be more of a test for the Ravens. But everything that you're doing right now is sort of measured against this. Okay, so they won. Do we really feel as though the team that played tonight is capable of going to Pittsburgh in 2 weeks and beating the Steelers?
Mm-hmm.
Do we really think that? Glad they won the game. That's what they needed to do, right? Their job tonight was to go win a football game, and they did. It was not great. The first half was mildly okay. The second half was awful. They won the game 23-16. And that it happened. And again, that's the best thing I can say about the entirety of the game is that it happened. It was a game that occurred.
You're right. The good thing is that Flacco threw no interceptions today. The bad thing is Flacco threw no touchdowns.
Right. He also made some bad throws during the course of the game. There were some throws that he missed. The one to Breshad Perriman on the sideline was bad. I gave him a little bit. I think that people, the overthrow on the ball to Wallace in the end zone, I think that also had something to do with Jonathan Joseph turning Wallace in a little bit quicker. I think that was actually a pretty good ball that should have given Wallace a chance, but I think Wallace got turned. I think that was just a good defensive play by Jonathan Joseph that forced Wallace to take a different path towards the ball than being able to continue to run in a straight line. So I would have to go back and see that a few more times to really know how I felt about that throw. But he missed some throws. Joe wasn't good tonight by any stretch of the imagination.
I mean,
but
we can say that every week.
They didn't really try to have him be good. Their interest in this game was run the ball, play good enough defense, get out of here with the win, move on to next week. And they might be able to do that enough times the rest of the season that they end up getting to the postseason because of it. Their schedule might be so bad that they can just get away with, let's not try anything, let's just run the ball, see if it works, play some defense, and that'll be enough for us to move on and end up getting into the postseason when it's all said and done. That could very well be the case.
No, I completely agree with you. I do think that their motto is, let's just smash mouth the teams in which we believe that we can beat, and let's really, really game plan for the ones that we feel are a challenge. And I have a serious problem with that. In college football, I'm going to kind of use this analogy because we see this happen too many times. Too many times you'll see a team get upset by a much lesser team, a la Miami and Pitt from this past weekend, because they're looking ahead to the games in which they know that they need to game plan thoroughly for, because the competition is much more thorough. The Ravens, in my opinion, remind me a lot of head coaches in college, where they look ahead to the teams that they know that are a much more challengeable team to defend, as opposed to the teams that they believe that they can beat. At the end of the day, these are paid players.
Right.
They get paid, I don't want to say the same, but they get paid, you know, and good money like you do. There's no team to overlook in the NFL, whether it be the Browns or the 49ers or anyone else that's bad. And so if that is what you're doing going into these games and saying, well, we're going to kind of water down the game plan a little bit for the teams that we think that we can beat, I have a real problem with
that. For
what
it's worth, Rita, I think they're going to try to go with a watered-down game plan even against the Steelers. I don't know that it's necessarily against the opponent.
That's
what their game plan is.
That's the problem.
I think they just look at this team and say, that's what we do.
That's the problem.
I agree with you because, this is about how great I think. I don't think the defense is as great as a lot of people think it is. I think they're okay. I think they can look really good at times when they play Tom Savage and Brett Hundley. And tonight, for moments, they looked really good. They didn't have a brilliant game
tonight. And for moments, they didn't look good.
DeAndre Hopkins was able to take advantage of them a good bit.
Numerous times on third down, there was two particular drives I can think of where they allowed third downs to be converted, third and longs. One particular, I believe, second quarter, at least two times they were in third and long situations and they allowed those third downs to be converted into first downs. So tonight, they did not look good.
No, I don't think they were particularly good, but I think that they're good enough. You know what I mean? I think they're a good defense in general.
They got
crucial
turnovers, so we'll ignore everything else, but that's
correct,
the problem that I have.
Because they made some big plays tonight. Yep. I guess my point in general about the defense is, if I thought they were a great, historically great type of unit, then I would be more understanding of, hey, all your game plans should be just go out, try to do enough, don't screw it up, like the defense win games for you. I don't think they're that good. I don't think this defense can play extremely well when they face a Ben Roethlisberger, or should somehow they get to a point in the playoffs where they were facing a Tom Brady. I don't think those quarterbacks will be rattled by this defense, because I don't think this defense is full of world beaters. I think they're full of guys that are better than backup quarterbacks, that are better than the crap that they have faced as the season has gone on. Tom Savage sucks. Brett Hundley sucks. And you can say, hey, he made some plays against the Steelers. It was the same crap against the Steelers. He had no pocket presence whatsoever. When he had an opportunity to win the game, when he got the ball back on first down, final drive of the game, he managed to get sacked on a play where he faced no pressure whatsoever.
Correct.
Brett Hundley sucks. The Ravens were able to take advantage of the fact that Brett Hundley has no pocket presence. Tom Savage knew he had one thing going for him. If you throw the ball in the direction of DeAndre Hopkins, something might happen. DeAndre Hopkins is that good. Jimmy Smith ultimately didn't have a great game tonight, right? Now, some of those times he clearly thought he was releasing to a safety that wasn't there. He was facing one of the three maybe best receivers in football, like Antonio Brown, Julio Jones. DeAndre Hopkins might very well be the next guy behind that. He's that good. He is unbelievable. So, you know, he had a tough task tonight. But they had one thing going for them. Throw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins and see if something might happen. Outside of that, the Ravens did a pretty good job. But Tom Savage sucks. He's not any good. He's not an NFL-caliber quarterback. You should be able to get turnovers and do those types of things against Tom Savage. Nothing that I saw from them says to me, this is why we know it's going to translate against the Steelers in 2 weeks.
I completely agree, and I want to add to that to say that, you know, when you get those types of turnovers, you should not, it should not be a one-score game against a team like the Houston Texans. We both agree, and I'm sure everyone else that would like to chime in can agree that Tom Savage is not a good quarterback.
He's not an NFL-caliber quarterback.
And yet they were one score away from potentially putting this game into overtime.
That's
and
true.
And that is the problem that we have. We can talk defense all day, and I know we'll get into offense on the later half, so I don't want to get into that, but I have a problem with a team that feels like the responsibility is solely on one side, and which is defense to get turnovers.
I do too, but they built that. That's what they built.
That's fair. So that's fair. Your point is extremely fair, because that's what you told us last year. That's
right.
What you needed was a couple of key players. This defense will be good, and offensively, we'd be fine. I mean, you know, we'll be a more balanced team. Well, this team is 31st, I believe.
No, they're not good.
In yards.
There's nothing good about the
offense. There's nothing good. So now we have been forced
save for it. And let me get, Alex Collins runs hard.
No. I'm back on defense.
I just want to say that because we said there's nothing good about the offense.
No.
Alex Collins runs
hard.
And
we'll get to that, right? Today wasn't one of his days, but you know what?
He was fine.
He was
fine.
When
he touched the ball, he was fine.
He had a lot of tackles for losses, but at the same time, this is still a defensive group that has Jadeveon Clowney, to me, who is still one of the best defenders, I mean, one of the best tackles in the National Football League. So as many times as he did get some good plays, he got some negative plays, and I expected that because I do think that the Houston front four is still good.
For the record, he just finished with 16 carries, 60 yards, 3.8 yards.
Okay.
That's fine. He was fine.
So I don't really want to elaborate on the offense, but what I'm saying to you, though, Glenn, is that this offense overall, not specifically the run game, because we do know that the run game has improved from the last 2 years. Overall, this offense is not good.
No.
And so it has forced the defense to overcompensate for the things that they can't do. We saw it last week in Green Bay where they only had 3 points out of three turnovers in the first half of the game.
Right.
Once again tonight, not that they had the turnovers, but you watched the Texans kind of go down the field on their first drive, got the 7 points. Aided by penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Penalties was a big part of this game, but defensively, they just weren't in sync. And if the Ravens aren't in sync defensively, this team is very much so in trouble because they can't do anything on the offensive side
of the
ball.
And this is when somebody, like we had Sean McDonough on the show today who called the game, obviously, for ESPN tonight. And Sean said, you know, if the Ravens could just get something going offensively. And every time somebody says that, I say back, but I don't think they can.
They can!
That's how I'm measuring everything about this. I don't even think it's worth having that conversation.
It's not.
This is what they are.
Yes!
They're not good on the offensive side
of the
ball.
What week is this?
This is week 12.
Okay, so nothing's going to change.
Right. This is who they are. This is the story of this team. They're not good offensively. I never thought they were going to be good offensively because they didn't do anything to make themselves be good offensively. They essentially said, we're punting on offense. And yes, I get it. They were hurt by the fact that they lost two of their starting offensive linemen to go with that. I get it. It probably would be somewhat better if they had those guys healthy. I still don't think it would be dynamic or interesting or particularly good, but I think that it would be better because I do think that a large part of the story is that Joe Flacco doesn't trust the protection at all.
That's fair.
And you can understand why. Right, correct.
Yes.
It's not good. He doesn't have good protection in front of him. So they punted on that side of the ball. They decided we were going to win because this defense is going to have to be unbelievably good.
Yes.
They're good. They're not unbelievably good. Matt Judon got 2 sacks against the Packers last week because he faced the quarterback with the worst pocket presence I've ever seen in my life. In my life. I get it. He can throw the ball a little bit. There's some things there. He has terrible, ungodly pocket presence. And so Matt Judon comes away with a couple sacks. So all of a sudden, around the NFL all week, people talk about, hey, Matt Judon, this could be a factor for the Ravens as the season goes on. I don't think so. I have not seen that from Matt Judon consistently enough for me to believe that he can get after quarterbacks in a way that I would fear the Ravens defense and I would fear Matt Judon. I have not seen that from him. Terrell Suggs had a good night tonight. By the way, John from Little Rock wants to nominate him for Man of the Match. We keep forgetting to do Man of the Match. That's fine. I don't even know who would be tonight. I think my vote would go to Sam Cook, honestly. I think my vote would have to go to Sam Cook for Man of the Match. Who was great again tonight, obviously. Both those guys. That's the one area that's been great.
Special teams units have
all been wonderful. But Terrell Suggs, you know, made some plays tonight. I still don't know that I fear Terrell Suggs. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't know that I have any fear of Terrell Suggs when you line up and play him in a couple weeks versus I think he's a guy that's made a lot of plays this season against lesser competition.
That's correct.
And that's you need to make those plays. I get it. Like, it's not – I'm not angry at Terrell Suggs for making plays against lesser competition. I just don't think that Terrell Suggs is having a great season versus he's put up statistically good numbers because they faced poor, poor offenses.
And we've talked about this over and over again, and I feel like at this point I'm beating a dead horse about this, but why are we continuing to look at a 35-year-old man with 2 bad Achilles to be the guy? When you have young guys that you told us that you drafted these young guys over and over again to do a specific job, they should be responsible for doing that job and not the 35-year-old guy who is literally at the tail end of his career to do so. I want Judon to obviously be the guy that can...
I want any of them to be that guy.
That can potentially get, you know...
Right.
He got the game that he got last week and feed off of that. I agree with you that consistency is the problem. And I do think that he's in a position where he could potentially be consistent. He's going to get enough snaps where he can be consistent enough to make plays or be in a position to make plays.
Right.
Now, is he going to do so? Obviously, we don't know. And that's the part I think that's frustrating, because the Ravens have they've shoved this down our throat that this is what we needed. We needed some pass rushers, and we needed a great secondary. Well, the secondary is pretty good. I think that we can both agree that the secondary is pretty good.
I mean, the safeties.
I said pretty good.
But the corners are definitely.
The corners are good.
Yeah.
The safeties are okay.
They've made some plays. They've been lost sometimes.
And I don't want to take anything from the defensive line today. They had a couple of batted down passes or whatever. But
absolutely.
But there were absolutely times when Tom Savage had 3, 4, and 5 seconds in a pocket to make a decision. In my opinion, for a guy like Tom Savage, that's way too much time. And so then you do have to wonder.
If that's what you get in Tom Savage, imagine if that's what happens against a real quarterback.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's the problem that I have, is that this is Tom Savage that we're talking about. So when Ben Roethlisberger, when you go to Pittsburgh and you play them in 2 weeks.
Yeah, if you give him 3, 4, 5 seconds, you're getting murdered.
He's going to kill you.
I don't care how good your secondary is. Ben Roethlisberger is going to eat you alive if you give him time to make plays. Correct. All right, let me get through some of these responses, and I apologize that I'm just now getting to them. From Devin, I noticed some more deep shots tonight than in previous weeks. Just need receivers to make more plays.
Yes.
The couple of deep shots that they took, in fairness, one ended up being a pass interference, right? So that's a success. Another one was the ball that Mike Wallace, again, I think was turned in just a little bit on. I think that was just a good defensive play by Jonathan Joseph that just threw that ball enough off to prevent Mike Wallace from having an opportunity to make a play. Now, in general, as the season's gone on, no, the receivers have not made plays. I liked what I saw from Chris Moore when he was on the field tonight.
I did, too.
I think Chris Moore is a guy that has earned more, again, no pun intended, more opportunities to get out there and make plays. I don't know that he's a deep ball threat. I don't know that he has particularly great speed that you should be throwing the ball down to him, but he seems to catch the ball when the ball's thrown in his direction. He seemed to get open a few times tonight. I think Chris Moore is a guy. He's clearly moved ahead of Rashad Perriman on the depth chart.
I don't think that's hard, though.
Correct.
Glenn.
I understand. If you're a 2, you're ahead of a 0.
It's not hard.
But I think that Chris Moore is a guy that deserves some more opportunities as the season goes on.
I agree.
Nicole says, go J-Mac. Is she referring to Jeremy Maclin?
Yeah.
I don't know why. We need to know. Right. I don't understand that at all, because I didn't see anything with Jeremy Maclin. John, I'm surprised they had so much success running tonight, considering that was Houston's strength, and Houston could have been exploited in the passing game, but Flacco couldn't make a good throw to save his life, and our receivers suck.
Okay.
I'm not going to argue with any of that.
This is Flacco.
I think it's a combination of all of it. I think it's a combination of everything that you've built here. So I keep hearing from people that you think that Joe Flacco looks disinterested. He might very well be, but I can't measure that by Joe Flacco versus if you had a boob as an offensive coordinator and you
a boob.
I have really tried to avoid it, but every time I listen to Marty Morningweg, I just come away thinking to myself, he's a boob. I mean, he's not meant for this. This is, I don't know how he was ever a head coach. He's not meant for this. He doesn't have that in him.
Yep.
If you had that and your team didn't give you anything and you had no protection, I'm not telling you that Joe Flacco couldn't maybe do more. I don't know that, and a lot of people wouldn't be in the same situation, just act the exact same way. I would need, in order to fully judge Joe Flacco, better circumstances for me to be able to judge him. I can't. Again, the result's not good. It hasn't been good. I get that.
Unfortunately, that's just not how this works. People aren't. People don't break down teams that way. And so wins and losses and big plays all go back to the quarterback. We can sit here and decipher the offensive line breaking down their protections and things of such. The running game not really getting off the way that they probably would have liked. Although he's right that the running defense for the
Houston,
Texans is pretty good. But that's just not how people view football. People watch the quarterback. People don't watch the protection.
If the quarterback had a big game, then the quarterback's great. If the quarterback didn't have a big game, then he sucks.
He sucks. That's now, I think that the disinterested part is stupid. I think it's trash because there have been numerous occasions.
Well, he looked interested in the last run of the game.
That was where I was going that. In addition, you know, there's numerous examples I could show you that says,
like, we've seen him throw a pick and then race after to try to make a play.
Yes, and so you watch tonight, he you and I both laughed about it because he looked like he
really wanted
to
score a touchdown, which was completely unnecessary.
I mean, he wasn't going down.
Get the first down, slide down, and the game's over.
He was not going down.
He
saw the end zone, and he was like, I think I'm going to be able to make it.
Really
and
to
so the disinterested part to me is lazy. Okay.
Yeah.
I get that we are not pleased with Flacco's play. I'm completely fine with us dissecting that and criticizing him of such. But to call this man disinterested when time and time again we've seen him make hustles and we've seen him do things to show that he's very much so interested in what goes on in his football game, to me is lazy. And that's the part that you need to stop doing.
From Chris, the offensive line played well. I don't disagree. I don't think they were great, but I think that
they weren't great.
They were admirable given the circumstances and given who they are. Like, given what our expectations are for them and given who they were facing, it was an admirable performance from the offensive line. That's what I can give them. Right?
They're okay.
I'm not trying to tell you that I think it's a particularly good offensive line.
Admirable. I'm sorry. They're okay.
I think it's an admirable performance. I don't think it's a good
group.
You
better than me, Glenn, because I ain't giving them all that.
From Sean, the Ravens need changes in the offseason, but if they make the postseason, will they feel the need to do so? We have talked about that regularly.
Blue to the face. Who was that?
That was from Sean.
Okay, Sean. So we talk about this all the time. We literally just talked about this again yesterday on the Fantasy and Reality Show.
I wrote a whole column about it at PressBoxOnline.com.
I was getting ready to get to that. That Glenn wrote a column about it. You and KO have talked about it on Glenn Clark Radio as well. The Ravens are going to believe that the changes are minor if they make the playoffs.
Well, I think
that's going to happen, so people need to be prepared.
The argument would that be, again, what they did to me this past offseason is inexcusable.
I agree.
If they make the playoffs, it's almost a referendum that they did the right thing. That they did the right thing by going all in on defense. It got them to the postseason. And that's the scary part.
Correct.
Because getting to the postseason, given the way that they would go about doing it, and we're still 5 weeks away from this, but you're just hard-pressed to see the Ravens losing more than a game, maybe two. I get the Chargers have looked good, but all of a sudden the Chiefs look terrible, so like I don't even know that the Chargers couldn't end up winning that division.
That's very true.
And the Chiefs could end up very much being a team that ends up missing the playoffs altogether the way that they're playing. I guess the Bills are still a factor somehow, some way in this. Like And the Raiders are a factor, too. But you're just hard-pressed to imagine the Ravens losing enough games to invite these teams back in. You're hard-pressed. Like, they have a tiebreaker over the Raiders. Can you really believe the Ravens have enough losses left on their schedule for the Raiders to not just tie them but overcome them? They have to jump ahead of the Ravens in order to take I don't think that I see that. Now, the Ravens are still capable of losing a game that you don't think they're going to lose.
But
the way the schedule breaks down, you're hard-pressed reasonably seeing the Ravens lose more than a game, maybe two, the rest of the
way. Oh, no, I had them losing potentially two games, which is the following two, the Detroit game, the Pittsburgh game. And I'm not putting Cincinnati as a gimme either.
And that's fair, right? Like, Cincinnati suddenly looks like a team that has something to play for.
Yeah.
I still think that Cincinnati is more of a factor. But I think the Cincinnati schedule is broken for them as well.
Yeah, but
they've stockpiled wins against bad teams. I don't think they're any good at all.
Spoiler is fun. That's the last game of the season.
They wake up and they're 5-6, and they say, "Hey, we're only a game out of the playoffs.
Exactly.
We've got stuff to play for. Who knows?"
Exactly.
So I hear you. It's not impossible. A couple more, real quick, from Chris. Ooh, hold up. Green Bay played in Pittsburgh. The Blackbirds went to Green Bay and showed on the road for the win. We've talked about this again. If you want to make yourself feel good about that, you can. Like, you can do this bit where you say, "Hey, look, transitive property. The Ravens went to Green Bay, shut them out last week. Green Bay went to Pittsburgh last night and nearly beat them." You can do that if you want to feel better about yourself. I can't.
It doesn't matter.
I can't. I'm with you.
Doesn't matter. We play the Packers once every 4 years. The Ravens and the Steelers play the Packers once every 4 years. That win or loss, well, they both won, the Steelers and the Ravens. It doesn't matter because, first of all, it's not a conference win. It doesn't matter, okay? Secondly, this is a rivalry of two teams that at one point were very similar. They know each other very well. All of that stuff about Green Bay means nothing.
Well, and the Steelers did still score 28 points, or 31 points.
31 points. They scored 31.
They still scored 31 points.
You score 31 points against the Ravens, you're winning the football game.
And I don't know that they will, right? I don't know that they will, but Yes, you do. I still fear the Steelers' offense. I fear Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell, and presumably they played last night without Juju Smith-Schuster, yep. who's added another level to that offense.
And Martavis Bryant came right in and scored a touchdown just fine.
Fair. And, I mean, presumably they'll have all of them yep. for that game, right? Yep. If they have all of those guys and Juju Smith-Schuster, I fear the Steelers' offense. I don't think this Ravens defense is good enough to shut down the Steelers' offense. I think they can play... You know, I think they can do something. Maybe they don't allow 30 points. Maybe they only allow 24.
Well, do you expect
along
the Ravens
lines.
to score 24?
I don't think they can go to Pittsburgh and win. I've said that a million times. I don't think they can go to Pittsburgh and win. From Devin, are the Ravens being too cautious with Danny Woodhead? They don't go to him a lot, but I think that a lot of people are confused about what Danny Woodhead does. I don't think he's dynamic in any way. That's why I was never all that moved by the fact that the Ravens signed Danny Woodhead. He's a check down back. He's a spot back. He's a good fantasy football option if you play in a PPR league because the ball's going to get thrown to him a bunch, but he doesn't break things down the field. He doesn't get you chunk yardage. He's not a guy that you should be throwing the ball to down the field because he's undersized, and he's not so blazing fast that he can just run go routes and beat. I don't know what it is that Danny Woodhead's supposed to be doing. You know, am I surprised they haven't
utilized him the way that you would have?
I don't know. I really don't know. I just don't know what we thought Danny Woodhead was doing. I think we've heard of Danny Woodhead. I think that we're guilty of this a lot of times in Baltimore. When we've heard of someone, we think that they are something more than what they actually are. When the Ravens traded for Anquan Boldin, who was amazing while he was in Baltimore, people were disappointed because they thought he was Larry Fitzgerald. Because when he played in Arizona in a silly video game offense, he put up these absurd numbers. So when he showed up in Baltimore and he wasn't that, he wasn't getting 1,500 yards or whatever, people thought he was a disappointment. Anquan Boldin was as good of a receiver as ever showed up in Baltimore, if not the best that ever showed up in Baltimore.
Yeah.
But he's not Larry Fitzgerald, and he wasn't playing in an Arizona offense. We just have this goofy thing where when we've heard of somebody, we think more of them than what they are. I don't know what we thought Danny Woodhead was going to be. He was never making this offense more dynamic. He's a nice safety valve for Joe Flacco in pass situations.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. That's a good role to have. They clearly don't think that Alex Collins is that type of player. He's a hard runner, but they don't think of him that way as a blocker or a pass catcher. I don't think they've underutilized Danny Woodhead. I just think that our expectations for what Danny Woodhead could do for an offense are misguided.
We are looking for a savior on this team. Mm-hmm. We're looking for what other people like to call an X factor, somebody
right.
to kind of bail you out of situations. The Ravens offensively aren't good enough to have an X factor that is going to
I
make
agree.
Such
okay.
a difference.
But here's my – if they brought in DeAndre Hopkins –
There's a different dynamic there. There's a lot of youth with DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously, you know he can get separation.
But that's my point is you can underutilize a player who's dynamic.
Correct.
Who offers something. There was an argument from some people that were underutilizing Rashad Perryman. Well, I think we now know a couple years in that part of that reason is because he's just not good. He doesn't catch the football. He doesn't fight for the football. You can't trust him. You can't try to utilize him that way. But when a player is dynamic, he can be underutilized. I just don't think Danny Woodhead's dynamic. I think what he does well. I'm not trying to knock Danny Woodhead. I don't know what it is that you thought that Danny Woodhead was doing for this offense. I kept hearing that from people. Well, the offense is going to improve because they're going to get Danny Woodhead back.
Well, because you want something to happen, though, Kid Glenn. When you watch an anemic offense like this, you are praying that it's only someone can put a spark into this team. And so when you see what Danny Woodhead did in the first drive against Cincinnati, how effective he was, you want to believe that that's the spark that's missing from this offense. Well, now you realize that there's so many other issues with this offense
agreed.
That he can only do but so much.
But again, I also think part of that's Danny Woodhead. I don't think there's another level to
his
game.
I think it's coaching. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not putting him in – I'm not saying that because they're not putting him in
right.
situations that he can do well. I'm saying that everything else is bad.
Well,
we fall back on
right.
that.
I don't disagree with that. I just, again, it's a weird situation. I don't think that they could be getting more from Danny Woodhead specifically. I don't think he's dynamic. I think he has a role. It's a good role for a team to have. I think he's better at it than Buck Allen, who, by the way, I didn't think was bad in that role this season. I thought as being a guy whose responsibility was to lay a block, get open, try to catch the football out of the backfield, he was decent in that role this season. I thought Buck Allen was playing fairly well. I think Danny Woodhead's a little bit better in that role than Buck Allen is. But I would argue that Buck Allen's more likely to break off a play for 50 yards. I don't think he's going to do it much, but I think he's more likely to because he's faster than Danny Woodhead is.
Mm-hmm.
If he can get the space, I think he has more of ability to do something downfield. I don't think Danny Woodhead offers anything that's dynamic. I don't think there's anything dynamic about Danny Woodhead's game. I think he's Rex Burkhead. I think he's,
I think Danny Woodhead's game would be considered, and I don't want to say dynamic, but when you've seen him in better offenses like New England, like San Diego, who have more balance on offense.
But they were using him as an underneath check.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. I think his numbers look better because there are teams that do more offensively. I don't think he's doing anything any different. I don't think that he's breaking plays downfield. I don't think that he's... If the Ravens tried to design more for Danny Woodhead, I don't think they could get more from him because just who he is. It's like, right now, you know what I compare it to is Ben Watson. If they designed more for Ben Watson, would that really help their offense? Or is Ben Watson just sort of what he is? He's a guy that you can try to throw the ball to sometimes, and he might be able to catch it, and, you know, you trust him enough to block that you can have him out on the field, but he can't really break anything down the field. I compare Danny Woodhead the same way.
I think that's fair, and I think that what people don't do is separate good offenses from the bad. So they see what he can do, what he's capable of in efficient offenses, and think that he can carry those same things over.
I think they see the statistics.
They think he can carry those over to worse offenses and think that he can do something when that's not how this works.
And to me, that's the comparison to Ben Watson is Ben Watson put up huge numbers in New Orleans his last season there because he was in New Orleans.
Yeah.
They play indoor football. They play a different brand of football. Ben Watson wasn't so much better a couple seasons ago in New Orleans. He played in a situation where the ball was going to be thrown his way more because they threw the ball 100 times a game because they regularly threw the ball in New Orleans playing indoor football. That's what they did.
Yep.
They've now gotten away from that, obviously, for good reason. By the way, Drew Brees looked terrible on Sunday.
Did.
Which is alarming. I was like, boy, he really does. Like, he doesn't look like he can make the throws anymore. But that to me is the comparison, which is Danny Woodhead's still doing the same things. The statistics just aren't going to be as significant because
the offense isn't good.
Right. It's the same thing that he does, it's the same skill set. He's doing everything the same way. I don't think that you design more plays for Danny Woodhead.
I agree.
I think that he fills the role that he fills. Let me run through a couple more. From John, can they get a effing knee brace that works?
Oh, God. Please. Really, no, he's right, though.
I mean, you're right. And also, yes, we've talked a million times about how terrible Joe Flacco is at sliding. But in fairness, again, it's an epidemic throughout the NFL. All quarterbacks are bad at sliding. Even the mobile quarterbacks are bad at sliding. I don't know why they're so bad at sliding. And that might have been, by the way, why Joe Flacco didn't want to slide on the final play of the game. He might literally said, I'm going to keep running until someone tackles
me. True.
Because if I slide, it's just going to be a disaster. I might F my knee up again because I don't know how to slide.
Yep.
That might have had something to do with what he did on the final play of the game. From Garland, sorry, but this is not a playoff team. They do not have enough offense to run the table. They will lose one of those gimme games to the Colts or the Bengals. Again, they could very well. They could very well lose one of those
games. I am not against that.
I think it would be a surprise because I think the defense is good enough that they should win those games in the 16-13 variety. But
16-13 is
I'm not
pretty
saying
gross.
That's... Rita, I'm not sitting here trying to tell you I think they're very good.
No, I get it.
I think that they're better than those teams and should win those games, particularly at home.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that
I agree.
You play those teams at home, it would be a bad loss to lose to one of those teams. And then from Ashanti, great show. She's are amazingly smart. I think she's referring to you. Is this actually Ashanti, by the way? Like, is this the real Ashanti? Like, Ja Rule and Ashanti?
No, that's probably... Is it a guy? Because I know an Ashanti.
It's Dr. Woods.
Dr. Woods.
My apologies, Dr. Woods.
It's not Ja Rule and Ashanti.
You're better than Ashanti,
Glenn.
Ashanti. She's amazingly smart. You both make a great team. Well, thank you. I appreciate
that.
That's very nice of you, Dr. Woods. Devin, funny thing about Flacco sliding, his brother played baseball in the Orioles system. Yes, that's true. His brother, Mike, was... both a football player and a baseball player, was briefly in the Orioles system and then tried to go back to college football and play tight end and make it in the NFL that way, was unable to do so.
Didn't work out.
Did not work out. Neither one really worked out for him.
No.
But, you know, he's an athlete. That's true. All right, 30 seconds. Tell you about the U.S. Army. We'll come back in. We'll start looking ahead to Detroit. That's what's ahead next for the Baltimore Ravens. This is a home date with Detroit next week. This is the Project Game Day postgame show. What we do with our lives defines us, so consider a path that gives you an array of opportunities for your future. The U.S. Army gives you skills and experiences that make you a well-rounded person. With many ways to serve that align with your goals, you'll become a stronger individual. Find out more at GoArmy.com.
You may qualify for up to a $40,000 signing bonus. Start your future today at www.goarmy.com/football.
There's strong, then there's Army Strong, paid for by the United States Army.
I got to turn our microphones back on.
That'd be nice.
My apologies for that. A couple of things. This is from Brandon. Holy balls. I jumped out of my skin with Joe on that keeper run. I don't know if it's because he was afraid that Joe was going to get hurt or what.
Well, I mean, considering that you've seen him
slide against Kiko Alonso,
you do have concern about, hey.
Well, he took that lick on the sideline.
This is the time you slide.
In the first half, he took that lick on the sideline that was bad.
Yeah.
Sam reached out, and you were at the game tonight, Rita. We haven't talked about that.
Yes,
I was at the game. Sam reached out and said, Glenn, don't know if you were at the game tonight. No, I don't like going to games anymore. Which, by the way, I'm not the only one.
I'm not. You're not.
I don't like going to games anymore, and I just choose not to go because they'll let me come in here and do this instead, and I like it in
more
here.
Fun.
Yeah, right? Like, I prefer it this way. I said, it looks like half the stadium is empty. A lot of people commenting on that, and John Colson said it was the deadest he had ever heard stadium during a primetime game. You were there. What's your report on the atmosphere at M&T Bank Stadium tonight?
I don't think it was half full or half empty, however you decide to look at it. I do think that the 400 section was very scarce. It was not packed up there. I do think that it was more people in the 100s and the 200s. Not completely full, but full enough. It wasn't a packed house. And a lot of that probably has to do with the fact that it's a Monday night. No one wants to see the anemic Ravens
it's
offense go out
after
there.
After a long weekend,
yeah.
It's an uninteresting matchup.
Deshaun Watson makes this a much better game.
If Deshaun Watson had played,
I think
there are a lot more people that are casual fans that would say, I would rather be here. I don't want to miss an opportunity to see this rock star,
yep,
Deshaun Watson play, or the Ravens match up with a guy like Deshaun Watson. That's enticing to me.
Yep.
It's not enticing to me to go out for an 8:30 kickoff on a Monday night against a Houston Texans team with Tom Savage. I will attempt to dump my tickets. If I can't, not the end of the world.
Yep.
I really wanted the Steelers tickets this year. That's the rink game that I really wanted. As it turns out, most of the other games ended up being duds this season.
Yes, that's basically what it boils down to. This is a dud game. No one wants to see Tom Savage. It's the end of the year. Although it started off pretty decent, it did get cold later. And like you said, it's a work or school night. I mean, who wants those elements? And you're seeing guys
a lot of people may have taken the day off today, coming back from wherever they were. People have to go back to work. There's a lot of that going on. I think it all, it adds into that. Now, all that being said, I don't know what was the energy like in the stadium for the people that were there. Was it as dead as everybody seems to think that it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't.
But I think those are similar things.
It was, I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're looking for it to be, fully packed, I completely understand. It's valid. I just don't think it was as empty as people would like to say that it was. It looked pretty full in the lower levels to me. It's just the 500s was people were like, oh, I ain't sitting up here in these 500s.
No,
seats.
I hear you.
It's
right.
Cold up here.
Right, correct.
Wind be blowing up here.
I hear you. All right. Detroit next week. They take on the Lions. The better barometer game again.
L.
Wow.
I'm giving it to them right now. L.
I don't think that much of the Lions.
I don't either, but I
think the Ravens defensively can handle the Lions.
Yeah, but the Ravens offensively can't do anything.
If
this becomes a shootout,
Right, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I think the question becomes, if the Lions somehow are able to score 20 points, can the Ravens match up with that? And that's the question.
I mean, the Texans scored 16.
I hear you. They have Tom Savage as their quarterback, and that staff is definitely better than
that. That's all I'm saying.
Now, the Lions don't run the ball. They're terrible at running the ball. While they have good receivers in Detroit, it's not that dissimilar to Baltimore, where, like, in Baltimore you have Mike Wallace and Jeremy Maclin, who are fine, but just fine. In Detroit, I think that Golden Tate and Marvin Jones are both a little bit better than Mike Wallace and Jeremy Maclin, but let's not pretend like either one of them is a frightful matchup for a Marlon Humphrey or for a Jimmy Smith. You feel as though that one-on-one those guys can handle a Golden Tate and a Marvin Jones for the most part, a Kenny Golladay. Nothing there strikes fear into your heart about what the Lions do. At home, I think I would give a slight edge to the Ravens. That all being said, I have no confidence in the Ravens.
None.
I have no confidence in it whatsoever. By the way, snuck in a cover tonight, 7.5-point spread. I snuck in.
Is Haloti playing?
No, Haloti's been done for a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's been done for a while. Because I know that
he might be done. This might be it for Haloti.
Okay, so the run, obviously the run, that's a big impact on the run defense. If I didn't realize it was like an extended injury, I just know that he hasn't played in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But I think I would have. I mean, the Ravens can make this a close game. I think if they pulled out the game, I don't want to say I'm surprised, but I just don't expect them to win this game. I don't. I just don't think.
Well, I mean, look, this is going to be the first time they've competed against a competent NFL quarterback
in a good while
since the Titans game before the bye.
And at the end, do we really count Marcus Mariota?
Come on, as a competent. I'm saying my level is competent. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about particularly high level. I'm talking about they haven't competed against a competent NFL quarterback since the Titans game before the bye, which they lost. Right? Like, that would be your argument if you don't believe that they're going to beat the Lions. It's the last time they played even a competent quarterback. They lost that game. Now they're going to face a competent to good quarterback in Matt Stafford next week. I'm not trying to overblow Matt Stafford, but he's a good quarterback. They're going to have to match up with that.
Yep.
Those have not gone. Now, the Ravens haven't played many of them this season, right? You can make an argument they played one, and that's Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
You can make an argument that the entire season they played one good quarterback all year, and that was the game they lost to the Steelers early in the season.
Yeah, yeah.
They faced Andy Dalton, who's competent, but I don't know if you give him good.
I mean, he's competent because he has A.J. Green. Let's be real.
Fair. They faced Blake Bortles, who's not good.
Next.
Correct. They faced a bunch of backup quarterbacks. They faced Deshaun Kizer, who maybe one day will be good.
Next.
They faced Mitch Trubisky, who maybe one day will be good.
But they lost that one. Remember.
Oh, you know what? I apologize. Case Keenum is more than a competent quarterback this season.
Well, yes, he's played very well. Let's give Case Keenum his flowers while he's in the league.
They also lost to him. So when they've played good quarterbacks, and they haven't played many, they've lost. When they've played just barely competent to below that, they've won. Well, not every time, because they also lost to Mitch Trubisky and to Blake Bortles. So. I have no idea what I'm saying at this point, Rita. I have no idea.
You're just
talking. I
have
no idea what I'm saying.
You're just talking. I think the Bears game, though, is the one that you look at and you still scratch your head. Like, the Jaguars game you get because defensively Jacksonville
well, they're very
was
good.
Very
the game
good.
Was in London. It was silly.
London, the Ravens kind of don't prepare the same way that the Jags do because they go every year. Leonard Fournette ran the ball very well. So you had those components. But the Bears game, I think, was a little bit more of a, like,
That's
the game that you just wonder, like, how did you
and you can,
not
people
win
will
that
make
game?
The argument, hey, they didn't have Brandon Williams for that game, and that allowed the Bears to run the football.
Yes, and particularly at the end of the game, and that's very true. But also, they had allowed Mitch Trubisky to make some plays that any other time I would have expected them not to.
Correct.
And so that's the one that scratches your head the most. And if they don't get into the playoffs, so somehow the Ravens find themselves at 8-8 and they don't get in, that's going to be the game that you look at and say, I don't know how that one got away.
30 seconds and we'll wrap it up. I'll tell you about ParXL.
The ParXL early phase unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for healthy males and females ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
Rita, how can people follow you on Twitter?
The NFL chick,
and
of course.
You'll be back Sunday morning.
I'll be back Sunday morning. Press Box, Fantasy and Reality. My mom's account, my parents have been PSL holders since 98. My parents' account has been chosen to do that on that pregame stuff
that
the Ravens
cool.
do.
That's cool.
So I won't be here the entire game. My mom wants me, of all people, to go with her. And I'm like, I really don't want to go, particularly since I just went to the game today.
Yeah, right.
But she's excited.
No, that's
she
cool.
gets to slap hands with the players as
that's
they come
awesome.
Out the tunnel.
That's awesome.
And so that'll be fun. I'll still be here with you.
Post game.
Post game. So I'll be back for post game. But she's super,
no,
super
no,
excited.
No, no,
no.
If you can't think that's cool, you're just a cynical a-hole. That's neat. That's awesome. Happy for your mom. That'll be really, really cool. Very good. All right. I'm back with you tomorrow morning, Glenn Clark Radio, from 10 to noon, pressboxonline.com/radio or glennclarkradio.com, and, of course, at Glenn Clark Radio on Twitter. And I'll be up till 4 o'clock tonight working on my week 12 power rankings as well, so they'll be up at pressboxonline.com tomorrow as well. All right. Thanks, everybody, for participating tonight. This has been the Project Game Day postgame show brought to you by ParXL. We will see you for Ravens-Lions next Sunday, back to normal time, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Appreciate that. See you then.